Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Forge 20 podcast. I am your Forge Master, Zach Coldiron. And before we go ahead and get started with this week's episode of Thrones, I would like to do a special artist spotlight. So, we have two artists who do art for us. First off, I would like to thank Art of Morningstar. He does fantastic commissioned work. He does fantastic tattoos. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, looking to get tattoos, looking to get commissioned art, that is your guy. Now, when it comes to our other artist, Draco Meister, they do mostly commissioned art, so if you need any character concepts or you want just something really cool drawn, reach out to them. They do a little bit of graphic design as well. You can follow Art of Morningstar on Facebook and Instagram at Art of Morningstar, I believe, and then you can follow Draco Meister on Instagram and reach out to them for commissions. Otherwise, let's go ahead and get started with
we'll
this episode
in three,
of Thrones.
Two. One.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Forge D20's campaign Thrones. I am your DM Hunter, accompanied by my best friend Zach. But tonight, I'm also accompanied by my brother, Parker. Say hello, Parker.
Hello, Parker.
Parker is joining our campaign. Finally, we have come to the episode where we are now introducing a new member to the party, a new member to the dynamic. We hinted at this a while ago. We've been building up to this. Tonight is the night. We'll finally see what arguably is my favorite player character I've ever been at the table with, a constant in our life when it comes to D&D. I'm very excited to share with you all this character, and I'm very excited to see what Parker presents, because it's truly an awesome character and an awesome time to play with him. Any housekeeping, Zach? Anything you want to make announcements for?
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on our social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram. You can follow us at Forge20Podcast. We also have a Patreon, and if you become a patron, you get some exclusive benefits. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and announce this now. Tonight, after this session, we're going to be recording an episode of a new series called Ron Unforged, where you guys will get to learn about us a little more, and about our characters and, you know, some inspirations we've had for building these characters and wanting to tell these stories. So expect that shortly after the release of this episode. Other than that, no more housekeeping for me, man.
Thank you, brother. Yes, if you guys are interested, we do have a Patreon. We would be very happy if you guys checked that out and followed us on our socials. It would be so awesome to have y'all support. We already do appreciate all that you do just by listening, but if you would be willing to go a little bit further, we'd appreciate that as well. But without further ado, I'm going to get into the recap of the last episode of Thrones, and then we will get into this week's episode. Last we left off, our intrepid adventurers, Daedalus and Alistair, had returned from Nomengard to the town of Phandalin. They spoke with the Maester, and they spoke with Lady Adabra, learning a few things here and there about what is next in their journey, learning who they need to go and see. After returning from Nomengard, they had to keep a word, a promise that they had given to Lady Adabra. Lady Adabra asked them to check in on a man named Aelin Kazarn, the lone survivor of the attack at Icespire Peak. Alistair felt compelled to keep his word, not just because of it is his bond, but it is of Aelin's circumstances. He's locked himself in his own house. He refuses to leave, despite having opportunities, a way to make up for the past. Alistair sees himself in Aelin, and so with that in mind, Alistair ventured with Daedalus, and the two of them went and found Aelin Kazarn at his home. They found him in a post-traumatic induced or stress-induced sort of state. He's not physically, he was there, but mentally he was not. He was still at the fort witnessing an attack. But with some counseling and some patience on the part of Alistair and Daedalus, they were able to help Aelin gain a semblance of himself and his reality. They were able to get through to him long enough for Aelin to realize that he can't stay here any longer. He has to do something unless he wants his own family to become the next set of victims. Aelin agreed to work with Alistair and Daedalus to assemble a militia in the town of Fendallen, mainly a roster of people that would be willing to help if the dragon did attack, and he's going to try to formally organize them whilst Daedalus and Alistair attend to other business. Daedalus and Alistair had received word from a courier. He had found something along the road, on the King's Road, from the city of Waterdeep here to Fendallen. He found a note someone had written in desperation. They must have been bound, unable to speak freely or escape. They wrote something in hopes that someone would find it along the road in their from their chains that they had written them from. Help. The note seemed to come along the roads that lead to the tiny, tiny fishing village of Leilon. A pyre of fire was seen burning by this courier. He told Daedalus and Alistair that it was a grim sight. He dare not go back. Daedalus and Alistair agreed to go check this out because it could be a dragon attack. It could be the orcs that had attacked them at the dwarven excavation site that they narrowly escaped. They agreed together that they would go and check this situation out and see what is going on in the town of Leilon, this village, rather. And it is from there we will pick up just outside of the town of Fendallen. Alistair and Daedalus journey further and further along the King's Road to Leilon. Alistair, you can see Daedalus constantly scanning the horizon. He looks out in front of him, over his left shoulder, over his right shoulder, at times even turning around, scanning the weather, checking the cloud line for any signs of the dragon. You can see he is definitely staying alert, keeping his head on a swivel.
Always on your toes, Daedalus?
Well, with the white dragon running around, yes. Last time we were caught with our wits not about us, we nearly were attacked.
I guess that's valid. Though, I don't think we should be in a constant state of stress. I don't think that's good for us. I think we would see a dragon coming from a mile away, no?
Do you think the men at Icespire Peak saw them coming a mile away?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
That is why I stay vigilant. You can relax for us both. I will stay vigilant for us both.
Daedalus kind of smiles as he says that. You can tell he means no harm by that.
Alistair nods.
Well, Alistair. Tell me, since you're in such a relaxed mood, what was it like growing up amongst the courtly proceedings, amongst the nobility? I know you've told me some already, but I'm curious to know more about your childhood.
I will say at times it could tend to be a bit stressful. My father, being a lord, takes up a lot of time. We got plenty of one-on-one time together, though. He trained me. We would go to events. I guess my father would mix a bit of his business with pleasure as we would attend these grand royal-like balls. And there would be dancing, drinks, games, and the like. It was a lot of good times then. Reflecting back on it now, it seemed like times were such more simple in my childhood, where I would play with my sister. There was even in Waterdeep, we went to some sort of ball, and me and my sister, we met this young girl named Aurora Neverember, and well, we all became good friends. It seems like it was very easy to make acquaintances and friends as a nobility. So I would say that my family had a lot of support. Even from people I didn't personally know, people that knew my father. I've seen a lot of the giving and generosity that the people of these lands have to offer. I would say it was a very good childhood, and I feel, very privileged that I got to lead that kind of life up until a certain point.
You see Daedalus is nodding as you speak, every once in a while kind of looking off in the distance, doing another check of the cloud lines, but intently speaking, listening to what you're saying. Indeed, it sounds like a wonderful experience. I cannot say that I had the same experience in my childhood, but it is good to know what a proper one is like, in a way.
I guess proper is just how you see it in your perspective. You say that you didn't have a quote-unquote proper childhood, but what was it like growing up for you, Daedalus?
Hard labor. Discipline. And many other things that I care not to talk about.
Is there a reason you can't talk about it?
You see he kind of sighs, you see his shoulders kind of sag.
I simply wish to forget that it happened.
I understand that pain very well, Daedalus. You see a somber look on Alistair's face.
But it is good to remember sometimes. It is good to understand that even after the dark, there is light. There is more. I know not why I asked about your childhood, but it was something that has been bothering me. I wanted to know more about your family, more about maybe why this tragedy befell you. It sounds like your family was quite beloved.
Yeah, we were. And everything literally changed overnight. A man's deepest, darkest nightmares come true. And now I'm only clouded by the darkness in my mind.
We will find answers. We will find out who is responsible. We will bring them to justice. After killing the dragon, of course.
Yes. Well, seems like we have something to do before then, too. This town. Do you know how far it is? I don't have a map.
Only a few more hours. Judging from the distance of that smoke up ahead.
As you hear Daedalus say that, he points with his taloned finger. He points to just above the tree line. You see a, I'd say, moderate plume of dark gray smoke billowing up to the cloud lines.
I'd say that's about 4 or 5 miles from us currently.
Wait, Daedalus. Stop. Weren't we advised that the raid happened a couple days ago?
You see Daedalus kind of raises an eyebrow and looks over towards the smoke.
Yes, now that you say that, that fire shouldn't be burning, at least not that viciously.
Something's going on. I don't like it. I think we need to get over there now.
Yes. Come on. Pick up the pace.
You see Daedalus starts to actually start jogging towards the plume of smoke ahead.
Alistair also just starts swinging his arms. He looks fucking 30 seconds in. He's like
winded. Come on, Darkheart, keep up. I'm in plate mail and I'm getting ahead of you.
I'm not in the most optimal shape, Daedalus. I'm really trying right now.
Daedalus looks over his shoulder.
Oh, gods. Do you need a potion?
No.
Perhaps.
No, I need to learn. I need to learn how to intake my oxygen better. My dad brought this up to me when I was younger.
In through the nostrils, out through the mouth.
Oh shit. Oh. Alright. So, as Daedalus and Alistair are now trotting, jogging, whatever verbiage you want to use, they are making their way to Leilon. The clouds of smoke getting closer and closer as they get towards the town. You are now almost at the end of the tree line. Alistair, you and Daedalus are kind of crouched at this point in a crouched position in the bushes, and you're kind of like sneaking up to the edge of the tree line, and just now seeing the scene before you. Let me describe. Leilon sits along the shores of a beach, you know, the coastlines of the great ocean, just a little bit south of Waterdeep off the King's Road. Leilon has a large fishing population. You see many different small ships, small little boats, little dinghies. Not a large town, but the people who do live here, the majority of them are fishermen. Those who aren't are tradesmen, or they are skilled hunters. There's not a lot of farming here, as they live on a mostly coastal landscape, but you can see these sort of wooden shacks that have been scarcely built in this sort of clearing along the shoreline, some of them up, raised up on stilts. But you can see many different shacks have been completely bulldozed to the ground by what looks like a stampede. Those that haven't been stampeded over are barely standing, have great chunks missing out of them, or are nothing but burning rubble. You see the ships that I described before, you kind of observe more closely, and you see many of the ships have been completely dredged onto the shoreline. They've been completely disabled, useless. Some have even been sunk, and you can see that they're in disrepair, and the sails have been burned and no longer are even there. Many ripped up and torn apart. You can tell this place has been raided. This place definitely has been raided by orcs. But as you scan the town, your eyes immediately take to the scene before you of a great pile, a conglomeration of bodies. You look at this pile, and your eyes begin to widen in shock and horror. At the bottom of the pile, you see the villagers, the people who lived here. Long rotted and decayed corpses that now burn in a great fire. And above them, the many different shades of green-skinned orcs. Some armored, some patchworked, all raiders that came here. And none of them are left. You see this pile burning more and more vivaciously by the second. You see standing just before the fire, maybe 30, 40 feet away from this great bonfire of corpses, you see a singular entity if you can call it a man, standing about 7 feet tall, maybe a little more, a massive orc, long flowing hair, a very thick, scruffy beard. You can see as he scans the shoreline, he looks upon his work. You can see he stands alone. He seems to be the one responsible, if that's even possible. Next to this great statue of a being, this stoic form, you see an orc that has been hog-tied and pinned to the ground. The orc thrashing, but unable to speak, its mouth gagged. At this point, Parker, Hathoron Blackmane, I would like you to describe your character, how you look in detail, and then say what you must.
All right. So Hathoron is a grayish green. He's on the lighter side of green, but he's a little gray. He's about 350 pounds. Estimated probably closer to 0% body fat. Stands about 7'2". He's baptized in scars. On the right side of his head is a larger scar. His upper lip has a scar on its right side. And his ears, the points on his ears have been clipped off. His deep black hair is fashioned into dreadlocks that form a sort of dreadlock mohawk mullet ponytail thing. Dark black beard with a slightly longer goatee. A few open cuts here and there. So a little bit of like blood dripping down his hands that may or may not be his. He has a strap around his chest, like a bandolier, with teeth and ears he's collected as trophies. He's covered in dry blood on his legs. One of his tusks, his bottom tusk, is broken off. His axe, if you could see it, is quite beaten and worn, and looks like nobody's taken care of it in decades. It's dull. You could tell just by looking at it, even at a distance. It's more of a flat hammer than an axe. He has this kind of animalistic vibe to him. Like, he's looks like if you Googled orc and then Googled hog and put them together. That's like the gist of what he looks like.
Like primal.
Yeah, like he's devolved into orc.
Return to monkey.
Yeah, that's...
All right. Well, Hathoron, because we're going to switch to your perspective for a second here. You stand amongst your handiwork, observing, kind of taking in this pyre of gore before you. You get this feeling deep in your belly, deep in your stomach. This is not enough. Not nearly enough. You know that this small battle, if you could even call it a battle, is not even a morsel of food in comparison to the hunger for the complete extinction of the orcs that you feel. The bloodlust, the anger, it still boils beneath the surface, And as you stew on these thoughts, as you stew on this disgust, you look to the ground next to you as your thoughts are interrupted by the squirming and groaning of the gagged orc beneath your feet. He looks at you with terrified eyes. What do you do?
Ethron's gonna kind of smirk, give a little bit of a giggle. And he's gonna look down at the hogtied orc. He's gonna say, "Stop moving." And he's gonna lean down and take the gag out of his mouth. Say, "Is that all you had to say?"
Are you going to let me go? I told you everything you wanted.
I cannot recall, but did I make that deal?
You said you'd set me free.
And Hathron leans down, and with one of his hand axes, he unties the man's hands, or the orc's hands, and cuts his legs free. And just stands there and looks at him to see what he does.
The orc's hands and legs go limp for a second after the release of the pressure from being stuck up at that angle, hog-tied. Tension released, he plummets his limbs, he kind of rolls to his side and then to his stomach as he turns his back to Hathron and tries to get himself to his knees. He gets up to one knee and then another as he starts to stand to his feet very slowly. You can see he's covered in cuts, very deliberate cuts all over, and this goes for Alistair and Daedalus as well. They can see, even at this distance, this orc has been brutalized. He's cut from head to toe, and he is caked with dried blood from every orifice. It looks like his nose was shattered, an ear was ripped off. It looks like every finger on every, or not every hand, like there's many, like on both hands, have been snapped and dislocated. And you can see this visible hunch to him as maybe ribs have been shattered on one side. The orc turns his head back towards Hathron as he starts to limply, with one sort of dead leg, limp away towards the tree line, towards Daedalus and Alistair. You can tell he knows not they're there, but he's heading straight towards you, Alistair. He's walking towards the tree line. You see him dragging his dead leg. Hathron, what do you do?
Hathron is going to watch him for a moment. And he changes his mind. He thought for a moment that maybe he'd let him walk. See how far he gets. Maybe spread the word more. But no. It wouldn't satisfy him. So he approaches slowly, because the orc's injured, so Hathron need not worry about him getting away. Comes up behind him. Gets his hand axe ready. And he just sticks it in front of the man's neck, or the orc's neck, and pulls it to one side, kind of ripping the orc's throat out of his neck.
As you do so, there's this visible viscera that sprays out from the larynx, his throat being ripped asunder from his actual body, being severed from him. It's being completely cleaved apart. As this happens, you hear this squelching noise, and the blood sprays on the ground. Alistair, you and Daedalus both see this. You watch as Hathron, he moves very slowly, very purposefully. I would compare it to Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees. He's very stiff, very rigorous, or rigid, rather, not rigorous. He's very rigid in his movements. Step, 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 like this relentless force as he... These steps don't look like they're that fast. These strides are just that large. He gets up to the orc very quickly. The orc doesn't even hear the footsteps coming. He's so beaten beyond senses at this point and just trying to go. He's trying to be free. He knows he was let loose. He's trying to get back to his tribe. He doesn't even hear as Hathoran approaches, places the axe just beneath his throat, and tears from left to right, spraying his viscera all over the ground. The orc claws at his throat for just a moment. You hear this and this dribbling coming down, and then he just goes limp and falls face first into the dirt. Hathoran, as this happens, you can smell the iron in the orc's blood, the scent of the crimson ichor. It fills your senses, your nostrils, the hot blood. You feel it, and it releases the endorphins in you. You feel this sort of release just for a moment as you inhale deeply the fumes of this slaughter, this fresh kill. You get the scent of something else. Something yet lives. Your eyes open for a moment as you were almost taking in a moment of bliss after your accomplishment at killing the last orc of that group. Relishing in that kill, you are interrupted by the scent of, you think for a moment, elf. Yes, that's an elf I smell. Then you get scent of something else, something more like copper. Something that's metallic in a way. Dragonborn. Two yet live. Not orcs, but nearby. And you get the scent. You see, you can sense the tree line right in front of you. As you bring your eyes right to the bushes that are about 40, 50 feet in front of you at this point. We're going to switch to Daedalus and Alistair. Alistair, you see the orc as this whole scene I just described transpires before you. You now see the massive orc bring his eyes up from the dead orc in front of him to directly meeting with yours. Is there anything you do?
Alistair's immediately going to find the nearest bush or tree and hide behind it.
You're already hidden in the bushes. Oh, so you want to like move from... Yeah, we're hidden in the bushes. He's looking at it. He's like looking right towards where we're hiding though.
Okay. Okay. Alistair in this moment, he is going to turn to Daedalus and say,
I think it's looking at us.
Daedalus nods. You see his eyes don't leave the orc as he nods, and he whispers back very, very quietly, if he attacks, run.
Okay, do we acknowledge that he sees us, or do we stay hidden? What do you want to do?
And as Daedalus says, the orc begins to speak.
In the bushes. In the bushes. Elf. And some kind of lizard beast. Show yourself. I will not harm you unless you deserve it.
So, as Hathoran says this, Alistair slowly, he's in a deep squat position in the bushes. He's going to slowly raise himself up to where you see his head pop out of the bushes. You see what appears to be a young adult elf, maybe like just off the edge of like being a teenager slash adult with slicked back white hair, has a black eye patch with golden filigree on it, midnight blue cloak with golden filigree on it as well. He looks, you said you won't harm us, so I'll take your word for that. You can hear this hint of hesitation and fear in his voice as he starts to slowly tiptoe nervously toward Hathron.
What about your lizard?
Alistair's gonna turn and use a hand motion to look at Daedalus like, come on, I'm not doing this alone.
I'm smiling because it's so funny at the scene. It's so good. Alright, so as you say, come on, very slowly, Hathron, you see a golden dragonborn with flaming emerald eyes stand up from the bushes. He stands about 6'6", 6'7" in height, and he's pretty stout himself. You see he has plate mail on, silver and emerald in its color, a little bit of golden filigree here and there. As he stands, you can see a sickle that is currently sheathed in its scabbard to his side, and a large shield that's strapped to his back. Dragonborn looks at you. He says nothing, but he steps out from the bushes with Alistair.
Good. Now I can see who I smell. A noble, I take it, elf?
Uh-huh.
And is this thing your knight?
In training.
What?
Daedalus looks at you. You can see this like look of like, what the fuck did you just say? He's like, he looks looking at you, Daedalus. His eyes are just beaming with anger.
He looks at Daedalus like, I'm sorry. I'm scared.
Daedalus turns and looks at Hathron, but he looks Hathron dead in the eyes. There's no hesitation with Daedalus. He looks you right in the eyes. My name is Daedalus. And yes, I am a knight in training. And you can see this sort of disgust on himself as he says that. I'm waiting for a lord to make me one. As he then turns and looks at Alistair, returning the same kind of look, and then turning back to Hathron. We were sent here to investigate what happened.
Sit with me by the fire.
Out of character? Really fucking scared right now.
We're gonna get fucking spit roasted, dude.
It's actually kind of scary. Daedalus looks at Alistair for like, yeah, do you want to sit down with him or are we running? Like, Daedalus just looks at him. He's like, are we fighting? Are we running? You can see on his face, like, what are we doing? He looks at you, Alistair, and then you see him look over at Hathron and at the fire. Like, are we going to go sit down or what?
Alistair looks at Daedalus and says,
I am a man of my word. No matter how terrified I might be right now, I'm going to see this through. We should find out what happened.
Daedalus kind of shrugs his shoulders. Very well. And he follows Alistair to go sit down. We sit a comfortable distance away from Hathron so that there's a little bit of more than an arm's reach, you know? And as we sit, we can... Alistair, it feels... To you, it's a very weird feeling. It looks very natural, Hathron. Hathron sits down by the fire, and you can tell this is nothing. This is a normal campfire to him. But as you and Daedalus sit down, you can see it on Daedalus, and you can feel it yourself. This is wrong. This is this feels almost blasphemous to sit in the warmth of this flame with the corpses of the villagers and the orcs all burning indiscriminately. You feel this sense of dread. But as you look over at Hathron, you see nothing. Indifference to the flame is what you see.
All right, everybody, before we go ahead and get started with our introduction to our new character, Hathron Orcsbane, I would like to give a special shout out to Boat and RV Outlet, Hudson, Florida. Go ahead and find my guy, Dom Neglio. If you reach out to him, he can help reach any of your boat and RV needs. And also reach out to Neglio's Hobby Shop, Inc. and Creative Store, where you can get some merchandise and stuff made by them. Their stuff is pretty awesome. So if you guys want to go ahead and go over there and check them out, you can follow them on Facebook.
Alistair's going to speak up in this moment to try to break the ice.
Well, I didn't properly introduce myself. I'm Alistair Darkheart, and gives a little bit of a bow towards Hathron. Tell me, what happened here?
Well, Darkheart, in the night, the orcs came. I was too slow. The town died. And then the orcs died. That is what happened here.
So did the orcs kill the villagers?
Yes. They didn't do it themselves.
So
are you inferring that I slaughtered these people?
No. It's not like that at all. I'm just curious and asking questions. I am so sorry if I offended you.
You'll have to excuse me. I've forgotten some of my old manners.
Old manners?
My name is Hathron the Orcbane. I killed these orcs.
You see Alistair's mouth just drops. How many orc corpses does it look like is around here?
Well, I'd say there's close to, on the bottom of the pile, there's close to 100 about villagers. I'd say there's at least close to 50, maybe a little bit more of orcs on top of that.
Alistair's jaw is dropped onto the floor.
You're telling me you killed over 50 orcs by yourself?
Yes.
Alistair's gonna turn to Daedalus, like, look at him like, what the fuck?
You see Daedalus is impressed. He doesn't look as horrified as you do. He's definitely in awe. His eyes are wide. But you see this look, he's kind of got his, you know that look of people get when they start nodding their head and they lean their head back and their lower lip gets kind of pursed up and they're like, nice. Daedalus kind of lurches his head back and you see him kind of look at the pile and then he looks over at Hathron.
Well, clearly you're very good at your work. Do you do this indiscriminately, or is there a reason behind this madness?
Long, I can't even remember, maybe 4 years, 5 years ago, I suffered a great betrayal. And 10 years before that, 14 years before that, I can't remember. my family was taken from me. And so I swore, those 4 years ago, when I was betrayed, every orc will die or kneel at my feet. And they often choose death. I prefer it that way. What brings you to this town? This pile of bodies?
Well, we were sent here by the people of Phandelin to check out what happened. They had heard a raid of orcs had come through a couple of days ago, and we offered to go check it out. Then we see the smoke burning, like a funeral pyre was occurring of some kind. We thought maybe the raid was still continuing, maybe we could stop everyone from dying, but we showed up here. We found you.
Why help the people of Phandelin?
It's a good question. It just feels right.
What about you, Lizard? Why do you help this smelly, small elf thing?
Daedalus kind of smirks as you ask, and he looks over at Alistair.
Well, I helped him because one day he will become a great lord, and I'm going to help him. He did not see it this way when we first met, but I hope he sees it this way now that he is capable of this. And if he becomes a lord, I will become a knight, and I come from nothing, so I cannot be a lord. I wish to create a better world, a world where indignities and injustices like this, and he points at the pyre, are no longer needed. The people of Phandelin are going to suffer injustices and indignities at the hand of the dragon, and so I'm going to kill it with Alistair. And if the fates deem it that way, that the orcs need to go as well, then I'm going to kill the orcs too. I have a strong feeling, Hathoron, that you and I share a similar hatred for them. There are many orcs, and many more where these come from. I can tell that this isn't the greater whole. And as talented as you are, I'm sure you wouldn't mind a little help. So I have a proposition for you, perhaps. If Alistair and I help you kill the orcs, will you help us kill the dragon?
I will kill your dragon. And I agree that you will help me kill all the orcs. And I know where they are.
Of the orcs? But what about the women and children?
All of them.
You see Alistair stiffens up, turns to Daedalus.
You see no reaction from Daedalus. He shows no reaction to the information of the women and children. for the orcs. He just keeps listening to what Hathoron's saying.
The orcs. This tribe I've been following has split to the south and the southwest. Some have gathered in mass, which is where I believe this party you see eviscerated before you. Their end goal was to go there. From what I've gathered from the cowards that choose to speak, there's some kind of bullshit magic ritual. It disgusts me. And then there's a lighthouse on the coast. Some have gathered there. These locations must be dealt with before I kill your dragon.
You say a magic ritual. What kind of magic are we talking about here? I happen to know a little bit of something about it. Well, magic, that is.
You look like you do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. That was so good. You look like it.
I know a thing or two about magic. Yeah, you fucking look like it. You fucking weird. Oh shit, you see Daedalus chuckles as he says that. You see him trying to keep it down, but Daedalus looks away and you can hear him chuckle.
When you see, what was it? Lord Darkheart?
No, Lord. Please do not call me Lord.
Sure. Lord Darkheart,
Alistair, just rubbing his temple in irritation right now.
I just... excuse me. When orcs dwell into the realm of magic, it's a abomination. There's no good has ever come from an orc shaman.
You see Daedalus nodding very vigorously at what you're saying. Very, like, meaningfully.
You look like you know our ways, lizard.
More than I'd like to.
Then like we are in agreement. Go ahead.
Daedalus looks at Alistair as you say that. Are we in agreement? He looks over at Alistair. You see him look at you, Alistair. He's not going to speak for the both of you. He's looking at you. Because remember, Daedalus insists. You're the Lord. Do you agree? He looks over at you.
There's a look.
Or do we need to huddle? Do you want to huddle?
No, I think Alistair can handle this.
Okay.
There's a look of hesitation on Alistair's face for a moment. He's thinking about that word all. All the orcs. What about the women and children? His father ingrained in him at a young age that women and children should always be spared. Men are meant to die on the battlefield. You see a hesitation in his voice, but he thinks back for a moment to that moment where he saw Hathron rip out this guy's throat. He sees the savagery of the orcs. And without thinking, says, yes, And you see him, like, surprised he just said that real out loud.
You see Daedalus's eyes get widened as you say yes. And then you could swear you see a slight grin on Daedalus's face as he looks over at Hathron. We have an agreement.
Good.
So, where do we go first?
To the ritual. We must prioritize. There will most likely be more warrior orcs there. And whatever they're doing with their shamans must take priority.
Daedalus nods very intently. Very well. Daedalus looks at Alistair, looks at Hathron. Shall we leave now, or are we going to wait for the fire to go out?
Best we leave now. You see Alistair gets up quickly and starts to tiptoe away from all the corpses, as if he's disgusted with what he has been smelling and seeing for the last god knows how long.
Oh, shit. Daedalus slowly stands to his feet as he watches Hathron as he goes to stand. He's trying to get a better read on him.
Hathron's gonna take an apple or just some kind of a piece of bread out of a little bag and start eating it.
It's fucking moldy.
It's not even his bag.
That's just the bag. When did you get that bag? Oh, from that lady right there. And he points to one of the corpses. That's fucked. Okay. As you're consuming food from a bag that is not yours, and you start kind of gathering what things that are yours that may be around you, Daedalus does the same, Alistair, you do the same, as you kind of scamper off gently around the edge of this small cataclysm of this village. Alistair, whenever you think about what Hathron said, you get this very sickening feeling in your stomach. Looking back on it, all the orcs. And you're beginning to realize he meant it. And you agreed. And you feel this regret, this disgust with yourself that you let fear compel your actions in such a way. And you get this feeling of, maybe I don't know what the hell I just signed up for. Hathron walks ahead as he's leading down a trail towards the summoning ritual. Daedalus is walking beside you, and he can see the sort of trepidation on your face. Daedalus turns and looks at you. What's wrong, Alistair?
He breathes very heavily for a moment and lowers his tone so that Hathron doesn't hear. I don't think the women and children deserve to die, Daedalus.
You see Daedalus looks at you and then looks ahead at Hathron. How do we know he even meant it that way? I didn't see any orc women or children slaughtered back there.
I didn't either. And that's why I hesitated a little bit. Because normally men will be the ones storming the battlefield. Very few and far between do, at least from where I'm from, do women take part in battle. They usually tend to selling, crafting, and the like. They're usually innocent. It's men who create all the conflict. And I don't think that the women and children would deserve to die. Because, well, they're mostly ignorant to what's happening around them.
Daedalus looks at him And you could see this look of like, you got a good point, Alistair. Like, you could see he's really thinking about what he's going to say. Alistair, I agree with you. The women, the children, they should not have to fall on the sword. We will cross that road when we get there. But for now, we can slaughter the shamans and the orc warriors with him, rather than be against him. And you see Daedalus look at him. If you understand, I don't want to get in his way.
I understand, Daedalus. I also understand and notice something else as well. You put your hatred aside of the orcs. For this one. Why?
He looks at you and you see this look of disgust on his face. I still hate them. And that includes him. But I would rather work with one orc to slaughter the rest of them than struggle and do it alone. Because at the end of it, he knows he will be the only one left, and that means he will have to die as well. I think that is where his road will end up. A road of destruction and slaughter on such a scale can only end in one's own death. And I believe he knows it. He reeks of death.
Yeah, you're telling me. He pinches his nose.
He's a little gassy.
So he's just farting as he's walking along. You see Daedalus looks at you for a second. And he looks back at the orc. Sometimes, Alistair, one must work with monsters to kill monsters. Do you understand?
I do.
I would gladly work with this monster. I would rather be on his side than against him.
I understand. Well, I guess that makes sense then, Daedalus. I think you made a valid point.
You see Daedalus nods. I tend to make a lot of valid points.
Alistair just purses his lips and just keeps walking.
The hell does that mean?
He just shrugs his shoulders, keeps walking.
Daedalus kind of squints his eyes, but then he looks back ahead. As you guys are journeying along, all of a sudden, Alistair, you see Hathron has stopped. He's completely just stopped walking up ahead. At this point, he's about 30, 40 feet ahead of us, and he's just stopped walking. And he's just standing in the middle of the road, motionless. Daedalus stops as well, and you see him reach for his sickle, and he pulls it out of its scabbard very slowly. You can hear the shh as he pulls it out. What do you do?
Alistair's going to look around. He feels uneasy, so you're going to see him place his hand on his chest, and a black mist begins to envelop him in the form of armor as he casts Armor of Agathys.
Nice.
But he's just going to keep his hand near his blade, ready to go at any moment.
Hathron. Daedalus and Alistair can't sense them. Can't see them. But you can. Coming down the trail, about 100 yards away at this point, the forest too thick for normal eyes to see through, But trained eyes, the eyes of a killer, of a hunter, they can make out this kind of movement in this thick, dense forest. You see two orcs coming this way down the trail. And they're about 100 yards out. What do you do?
Hathron gets his great axe ready. He turns his head to the side a little bit, kind of like looking to make sure you guys are still there and you didn't just stop walking like a mile back.
Is this the first time you're looking back and we're still there?
Yeah. And he looks and he goes, "There are orcs on the road. Two approaching. I must kill them." And Hathron just starts walking forward at a normal pace, just walking, ready to go.
Alistair's pulling out his rapier. See, he pulls out this very intricate-looking black rapier, and the hilt has many like spindles kind of wrapping around Alistair's hand.
You see Daedalus does not move for a moment. He watches as Hathron goes further down the trail. And he looks at you, Alistair. You can hear Daedalus for a moment. "I don't think he needs us for this. I think he meant he needs to do this."
I see. Alistair puts his rapier back. "Well, he did kill 50 orcs. I mean, more power to him, I guess."
Daedalus takes like a deep breath. You can see for a second he is intently watching to see what Hathron is capable of in person. As now Daedalus very slowly continues walking, watching as Hathron gets closer and closer to the orcs. Hathron, at this point, the orcs are about 40 feet ahead of you. And they've stopped, and they see your approach. You see the two of them confer with each other for a second before one speaks.
"Who are you? Are you part of the clan?"
As you see, he sticks his hand up. In a very symbolic gesture, you see him hold up an open hand with a closed thumb, sort of like a symbolic gestured greeting from that tribe of orcs.
Hathron does it back, and then he says, "I'm from Laendale." Trying to convince them to come closer. He's still walking. He's not going to stop.
Do you mean Laylon?
Laylon, yeah. My bad.
Laendale, the Dark Souls location. I was like,
Dark Souls.
From Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Oh my
I come
God,
from Laylon. I okay, come from so Laylon.
The two orcs kind of nod and they start walking towards you.
"What news, brother?"
He's going to get nice and close.
About 5 feet away from them now at this point. You're talking at a good arm's reach.
He fucking hurls his great axe at one of them.
Oh my God!
Oh my goodness!
Oh my goodness. All right. You hurl your great axe at one of them. Go ahead and roll me your attack with advantage because they're surprised.
All right. How do I roll an attack with advantage? Just roll it twice.
So you hold shift as you click it. So you shift click. Okay.
Oh, no fucking way. No fucking way, bro. Unnatural fucking 20. I'm taking a picture of this. Oh, my God.
You gotta post that.
I am 100% posting that. Oh, my God.
To elaborate why we're freaking out, he rolled a nat 20 on the attack, and he rolled max damage. So he rolled in total... He rolled, oh my goodness, because you double it. He rolled 42.
Holy shit.
On a single attack.
Oh my God.
Hathoron, can you describe how you literally just smite without using any divine magic? You smite this orc down with your great axe throw.
I just want to say I still got it.
I still got it, baby.
Oh, man. All right, so he fucking, like, from the side, just twists real quick and just chucks it as hard as he can. And it goes right into the other orc's stomach. And it's a dull blade, so it doesn't quite cut him in half. It almost cuts him clean in two. But he's half his torso flops over to the side.
He, like, folds.
And he just collapses. And then in that moment, he goes to tackle the other orc.
You succeed due to the sheer awesomeness of what's just transpired. You grab a hold of the other orc. What do you do to him?
He starts beating the shit out of him.
You just grab him by the scruff of his neck and just punch his fucking face in.
I'm just gonna start, you know, one, two, left, right, left, right.
Oh my goodness. So you basically rock 'em, sock 'em robots. Roll me damage. Because I'll say you go ahead and start beating the hell out of this guy. So roll me a damage. And this is unarmed strike. So you have to go down to your character sheet and you click unarmed strike attack.
Okay. So I just click it and now. Okay.
You're not rolling the attack. You hit. You definitely hit.
Damage too. Or do I click the.
You got to click the dice for damage, yeah.
Oh. Right? Yep. Nope. Stop it. Other. So, yep.
Go ahead and roll me another one. You're rolling two of the unarmed strikes because you punched twice. All right, describe how you kill this orc with mere fisticuffs.
Hathoron tackles him. And then just starts, like, leans back a little bit, just starts wailing on him, like, right in the fucking nose. And he's screaming while he's doing it. You know, the blood and brain matter just kind of going all over the place. And he's just wailing on him until his hands start hitting dirt.
So to describe for you and I, Alistair, we watch as we're about probably at this point 50 yards behind Hathoron as the slaughter begins. And you see as Hathoron just with one hand takes the great axe and with a quick little flick of his arm from one side to the other, the great axe goes tumbling sideways in its arcing motion as it rotates, rotates, rotates and plunges itself into the first orc, nearly cutting him in two as his body falls apart to the ground. You see, in the shock, his friend turns, his mouth drops inside of the horror, and as he turns back, Hathron's already on top of him. He tackles him to the ground, spearing him. He just double leg shoots the takedown, spears him to the ground. You see immediately he gets in the full mount. As Hathoron postures himself up back and starts raining down hammer fist, great ape style, just bam, bam, bam. Hammer fist after hammer fist after hammer fist as blood and viscera is gushing up around Hathoron. You can hear him screaming. This screaming doesn't quite sound like screaming, though. You can hear every once in a while, it sounds like Hathoron is laughing. Like he's enjoying what is happening. This sight is almost horrific. As you see, even Daedalus is a little uneasy. You see him, he stands there, his eyes are wide as he watches and he looks at you. And you can see even in Daedalus's eyes, like, oh my goodness, what have we gotten ourselves into? Eventually, Hathoron stops after nothing but dirt has been kicked up all over what remains of the bloodied head of this orc. Hathoron, you're taking deep breaths. You're out of breath at this point. Minutes later, after crushing his skull over and over, You wipe the blood from your brow line and your eyes, and you stand back up. You kind of crack your back and crack your shoulders, crack your neck. And the fight is over. You turn and you see Alistair and Daedalus both standing there wide-eyed. In Daedalus's face, you see a sort of shock, but a curiosity. In Alistair's face, you can see nothing but shock and what looks to be a bit of regret.
Hathron grabs his great axe. Gives it a quick, like he kind of jerks it to one side to kind of swat the blood off of it.
As it gets squelched off.
And he turns and he looks at the two of you and he says, what are you waiting for? We have more orcs to kill.
Alistair gulps and nods and just starts trotting forward.
Daedalus looks at Hathron. He doesn't look to Alistair, he looks at Hathron. And Hathron, you see him, and he nods. That same intentful nod, like he's on the exact same wavelength as you. Daedalus goes, lead the way. As now the three of you begin your journey to the summoning ritual. That is where we will end tonight's session. I wanted to take this time in closing to thank you, the listeners, for being here, for taking the time to listen to this episode, and for taking the time to be here with us continually after all these episodes. I know it's only been, I don't know, I think we're on episode 14, 15 range, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. I find it hard to keep track of because the recordings are a little ahead of when we post them. We try to stay ahead for you guys so that we have stuff in the batter's box. So if a date is missed, we can still post. But I do want to thank you for the continued listens, the continued support. We appreciate each and every one of you. And I wanted to take a moment to thank you, Zach, for continuing to do all that you do in promoting the channel, promoting the videos, producing them, and taking the time to host this and set up schedules. I really appreciate you, man, because this is a passion not just for you, a passion for me, and now a passion for Parker. And speaking of Parker, I wanted to thank you, Parker. I truly do appreciate you joining us on this campaign and on this journey. I always, when I thought about this and I thought about telling this story, I always pictured you being at this table, being a part of the dynamic. I always pictured Hathron being there. And so it's really an awesome thing to get to share this story with you, and you get to be a part of it now. And I think you add so much more to the dynamic, so much more to the table. And I can't wait to see what is in store for Hathron and in store for the party. So thank you, Parker, for joining us. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Of course, man. And with that, everyone, once again, I'd just like to encourage you to follow us on our socials, Instagram, Facebook. I'd also encourage you to check out our Patreon. And I'd like to take this time to thank our wonderful patrons, Melanie Draws, Melanie Cuchalone, and my son Anakin. I really appreciate all of your continued support. We all love you, and we appreciate all that you do for us in supporting the channel and in being here time after time to listen to us drabble about the story and where we're going with it, and for just being intentful listeners. So with that, I want to say thank you once again to everybody for listening. And with that, I'm your DM Hunter, and I'm signing off. Take it easy, everybody.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
All right, y'all, and that is it for this episode of Thrones. I really want to give a special shout out to you guys who are listening and to our final sponsor for this evening. So, If you are a big fan of professional wrestling, you guys on July 27th, which would be tomorrow as the release of this episode, can go check out Amp Wrestling Gold Rush at Circle S Barbecue in Hudson, Florida, where you can see Cutthroat Agency in action with the handler Ashton Blanton, the Spanish Devil Dante Velez, the frontman Axel Hendricks, and the assassin Tommy Burns, and many more. That's all from Forge 20 for this evening. Forge 20, turning off the forge and checking out.